This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
But now I am strong because I realize that I am myself. That's all I got in the end. That's what I found out. And it ain't no need to cry. I took a vow that.
By the way, we recognize that this may not be a happy weekend for everybody. There are some folks who have suffered losses that are tied to Mother's Day. And if you're the first Mother's Day, like Mary Vandeveld, without your mom, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. If you've struggled to become a mom and weren't able to,
right,
it's tough.
So we have Kelly Kitley coming on in a few minutes. And Kelly's a therapist, and she does that. And we thought we'd see if we can get some ideas from her on how to, you know,
make it easier for these people.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. In studio with us, Carrie Anton. We've had Carrie on the show before. She's had a very interesting writing career.
Mm-hmm.
It was the American Girl book we were talking about.
I believe it was The Ultimate Guide to American Girl or The Encyclopedia. I don't remember which one.
Were the American Girl dolls?
It was The Encyclopedia when we had her on. Yeah.
Were the dolls a thing when you were a little girl?
Yeah, they were. They had just started coming out. And
they were less than $100 then.
Yes, they were, because they were less than $100 actually when I started working at American Girl, but they were still more expensive than my mom wanted to pay for me. She wanted the dolls for herself because
I was
going to
say, I grew up with Carrie. She's one of my sister's best friends. We've known her since we were three. And Carrie grew up in a doll-heavy household, a lot of bears, but the kind you couldn't touch. Her mom would display all of these dolls.
Oh, they were keepsake bears.
Keepsake bears, and my mom was also an antique doll collector, and I hated
dolls.
You
also couldn't touch them. So.
Yeah.
So you could look at them, but you couldn't play with them.
No, and I had like a ton of shelves in my room that were all like my mom's dolls, and so like even that stuff, like I couldn't really touch the stuff in my own room. So
have you been able to pay your mom back somehow with that? Like have stuff at your house she can't touch?
No, that's a long story. Maybe my mom doesn't come to my house. So.
Is that the next book?
Yes, that's the memoir
coming out. Got it. Because you have this writing career, and because you, I assume, work out of your home.
Yes.
And work on your own a lot. I love this idea for the latest book, Me, Myself, and Ideas, The Ultimate Guide to Brainstorming Solo. Now, I mentioned, you got to have voices in your head if you're going to brainstorm solo, don't you?
You definitely do. Yeah, and I have plenty of them. Also, thanks to my mom.
Again, that'll be the next book. But brainstorming is a big part of coming up with the right idea. And, you know, you'll get chuckleheads in any corporate environment who will go, there are no bad ideas.
Right.
We're going to be here for 12 hours. But you can do this and do it in an organized fashion and help yourself as you're sitting there by yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, we address the, so this is a co-authored book. So when I say we, I'm not talking about the multiple people.
You're talking about another human.
I'm talking about another human, which is Jessica Nordskog. So she co-authored the book with me. And in it, we actually talk about how there are bad ideas, because otherwise everything would be a thing. And but there are some good ideas that sort of look like bad ideas, like the RSS Bodie McBoatface, which mm-hmm. was a ship that was named, that basically they allowed the internet to name, and people voted on RSS Bodie McBoatface.
This is a real thing, by the way. She's not kidding.
No.
This is a British ship. They said, we'll name it on the internet because some genius thought somebody wouldn't say Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah.
And then they agreed to do it. By the way, it's kind of like the same story of Brexit.
Yeah.
Somebody thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
So the obvious question is, how do you know it's a bad idea if you're doing it by yourself?
Usually we have a section in the book called Sit and Simmer, and that's not something we came up with. That's part of the normal brainstorming agenda in a group. And so it's the time when you will question an idea, and when you're by yourself, since there's not a lot of people questioning it, instead we encourage you to just kind of sit with the idea. Don't rush into it. Like, I always kind of joke that it's like getting a haircut. You know, like, I wanted to change my hairstyle completely, and so I just one day was like, I'm going to do this, and I went to a whole new hairstylist, and next thing I know, I'm wearing a baseball cap for about a good, you know, 2 months.
Right, you got to ride out that urge sometimes.
We call that don't hit send.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's put everything
exactly
down, but like, don't hit send.
Yeah.
Right, or at least until you thought about it, and then if
right.
it's still a good idea. When do you know you have a good idea so you don't sit and simmer too long?
Yeah, so there's a lot of questions in the book about how to sort of, I call it like the dating game almost, where
okay.
you're running that idea through the paces, like how much are you going to cost me? How much time do I have to give you? Are you going to suck the soul out of me? You know, that kind of thing. And so once you start answering those questions and you kind of dig in deeper, you'll start to see if that's the idea. Also, if it just kind of nags at you all the time to do something with it, it's usually a good idea.
Now, because you're brainstorming on your own and trying to come up with whatever your business is and to make the most out of it, is there a danger after you think you've got the right idea and you've simmered and you've done all of the right things to bring it up to friends or somebody else to have them, you know, I guess to look for approval?
Yeah, I think we all run into that problem. And that's the part in the sit and simmer that we're like, don't run out and tell everybody about right. this. Don't go out and buy the URL. Don't, you know, share it with the world. That's the time that's usually the worst because you'll get a lot of naysayers.
People and just that's a disappointing thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you're still going to have that regardless. I mean, I think people were still, I think my husband might have been like, this book is going to be about what? Like,
that's sweet.
Yeah, he's a very supportive man usually, but but he's a questioner. And so he just had a lot of questions like, well, why would you do this? And, you know, but.
Well, it's 2 books down the road. First exactly. mom, then your ex-husband.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to work
there. You cover some things about mental blocks in there. So
yes.
What's a tip for when you have a mental block?
So the one easiest mental obstacle getting over. What am I trying to say here?
Getting over the obstacle of a mental
you.
Block.
Is to go for a walk. Like, it seems really simple and stupid, but a lot of times we're just so fixated at our, like, our desk or at our office, and so we try to find the answer online, and so we go to social media, and, like, that will actually crush you more because you just get into, like, comparison mode. Whereas if you just kind of take a break and go for a walk, like, you create space in your brain, and I also think there's something kind of magical about fresh air that really helps with creativity. And so even just a short walk, 5 minutes, whatever, usually when I come back after doing so, like, I'm just, like, writing down a bunch of ideas.
Well, you also recommend yoga.
I do. Yeah, that's more for the sit and simmer phase. But there are creativity poses that you can do that are supposed to help increase.
Mine is generally this.
Yes. There is the corpse.
That is the face palm to,
yeah.
yes. right to yeah. Steve's forehead yeah. is what he's
you
doing.
You got to have big so. Hands to cover my head.
That there is corpse pose in there, so we didn't, you know, we didn't make it too difficult. You can just lie there.
Corpse is laying.
Yeah,
right.
Corpse
right.
is just laying dead. So we took that approach too.
Props?
Props, you know, we don't use as many props, but we definitely give some advice on, like, you know, some people are just fidgeters, some people need to, you know, be busy, that kind of thing.
It's basically whatever fires up your brain, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of we do a whole section on what we call icebreakers. And so unlike the, you know, two truths and a lie and a trust fall and all of that, like when you're by yourself, like all of a sudden.
A trust fall by yourself would be challenging.
Yes.
Some things you have to say no to.
I was going to say, I've done them before because I'm just a natural klutz and it hurts, so there's a lot of bruising involved, but you know, the icebreakers in our book are really more sort of creativity kind of activities. So there's a lot of, like, doodling and doing stuff even that you might have done in kindergarten, like putting a collage together out of junk mail. You know, it's just, like, basically the idea is to get your brain out of, like, work mode and into brainstorming mode.
Yeah, and there's a thing going on that goes on in sports. I should say sports psychologists talk about this all mm-hmm. the time. And I'll give you golf as an example because I couldn't suck more than I suck right now. And the idea is if you do something that you've been good at with some regularity and you're struggling now, and this to me sounds like brainstorming, correct yep. me if I'm wrong, put yourself in a mindset position of a tremendous success you've had one way or another.
Yeah.
Run that success through your head and then see if that fires everything up to go down the right path.
Does so that's a big confidence builder too, because, like, when you're just feeling like, oh, everything sucks, like I'm not coming up with anything new, like your confidence is pretty shot. But you also touch on a good point there because we talk a lot about perspective. So a lot of times it's looking at your creative challenge or dilemma from the eyes of another person. So we have a brainstorming technique that you can do at a coffee shop, and you start looking at, like, well, who's sitting at the tables around me, and start making some assumptions and judgments. And, you know,
that's fun too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, like,
judging others, you get a talk
exactly.
show if that continues.
We encourage eavesdropping, but not actually bothering these people. So you don't know what they're doing, but you're going off of what they look like, what they're wearing, what they're, you know, what they're doing, and then making some assumptions about, well, how would this idea be affected by them, or how would they need this problem
sure.
solved, that kind of thing. So it just kind of makes it gives you a perspective without having to, like, dream up somebody, because they're real tangible people right there.
Well, congrats on the book.
Thank you so much.
Out and available everywhere.
Yes.
And get 2 copies. You're careless. You might lose one. You'll have a backup plan.
Yes, please do.
And then download a third.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are available on Kindle also.
And also, we're going to give out your husband's email so people can send an email to him that says, na, 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 na. Turns
he
out I was right.
He is very supportive of
I'm
the book
kidding.
Now.
I'm sure
he loves
great.
It now. So,
Me, Myself, and Ideas, the ultimate guide to brainstorming solo. Carrie Anton, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.